In fact, we'll preach out of chapter 5 and chapter number 6. But if you got your Bible, Leviticus chapter 5 is where we will take our text verse. Leviticus chapter number 5. And if you want to stand and stretch your legs for a minute, I'll encourage you to do that. Leviticus chapter number 5, and for a text verse, let's read verse 14, 15, and 16, and then we'll preach through the majority of the chapter, and then chapter number 6, all right? Verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation, by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him." Lord, we love you this afternoon, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be in the house of the Lord and the opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now in the Word of God. Let us say something, Lord, that would be an encouragement and a help to somebody here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to somebody's soul. And then, Lord, bless us in this communion service we'll take part in here in just a moment. Let everything done tonight be done for your glory, because you're good and you deserve it. We pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. 4 weeks ago, we began talking about the five Levitical offerings found in the book of Leviticus. Tonight, we will discuss the fifth and last of these five offerings. I've said before that it took five offerings to tell one story of Jesus Christ. In each of these five offerings, we see that something is differently brought out. Some unique picture is painted. But all the pictures portray the Lord Jesus Christ. We have discussed many things over this week by the way of typology. I think that it is worth mentioning tonight that the Old Testament is full of types and pictures and shadows. The more you understand and the more you appreciate typology, the more you will enjoy the Old Testament scriptures. You see, typology is more meaningful to you when you have experienced what the type is all about. I can stand up here all night and preach about the type of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in these Levitical offerings, but if you've never been saved, it doesn't mean much to you. But to those of us who have been saved, it means something when we read about a man taking a lamb's life and having his sin transported from him to that innocent lamb, and how his sins are forgiven. I bet if you was to ask Isaac about the typology of the ram, it would mean a lot to him. But Ishmael, it probably wouldn't mean a whole lot. But I think that we can see some beautiful pictures in the way of typology in this passage of Scripture. I began thinking about these five Levitical offerings. I thought this way, the burnt offering, we see a picture, a type of representation. The Lord Jesus Christ died as a representative for sinners. He gave his life as the representative of all men when he died on the cross. In the meal offering, we see a type of refreshment. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he offers refreshment to the soul of all mankind. In the peace offering, we see a type of reconciliation. Jesus reconciled man to God by the death on the cross. In the sin offering, we see a type of reproach as Jesus bore our reproach on the cross, the reproach of all sin, the sin of all mankind. And then lastly, we come to the trespass offering. That is the offering before us tonight. And in the trespass offering, we see a type of restitution. All that was lost to sin has been fulfilled and restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. The trespass offering is what I intend to preach about tonight. in this trespass offering, or as it was many times called, the compensation offering, we see that it lays down the emphasis of compensation for crimes that were committed. At first glance, if you read chapter 5, it will seem like the trespass offering and the sin offering were very similar, almost even the same. But these two offerings were unique and they were different. The sin offering, the word sin, that sin offering carries the idea of missing the mark. You see, God has a holy standard that He expects us to live up to. And when we sin, we miss the mark. We fall short. We don't quite get there of God's holiness and God's righteousness. That is what sin is. But a trespass is different. A trespass isn't missing the mark. A trespass is overstepping the mark. In the sin offering, we see who we are. We are sinners. We are lost and undone without Jesus Christ. But in the trespass offering, we don't see who we are as much as we see what we do. In the sin offering, we see that God deals with our hearts. We are sinners in our hearts. We are separated from God in our hearts. But in the trespass offering, God doesn't deal with our heart, but He deals with our hands. The things that we do with our hands. Now these two are connected. Just like what you do with your hands begins in your heart. But they're unique and they're different. In fact, in these passages of Scripture, chapter 5 and chapter 6, God lists out 10 trespasses that a man can commit. Trespasses that required the bringing of an offering. I want us to look at it this way. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see the sins that were rejected. The sins that were rejected. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, it is a witness whether he hath seen or known of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." You see, this offering was different in that the sin of this offering was not spoken of in general terms like it was in chapter 4. It is spoken of now in specific terms. You see, on the cross, Jesus Christ died for sins in general. He died for the sins of the entire world. When He hung on Calvary, He became the substitute for sin. But the reality is that while He died for all sins, He wants to deal with you specifically about your sins. You see, God loves all sinners and He died for all sinners. But there are going to be times that He comes and sits down next to you and He says, "I want to talk about this specific thing." Amen? I think I got one amen on that. God sometimes deals in specifics. If you've been having a hard time with keeping your mouth closed, God may come by and say, "I want to talk to you about your tongue." Amen? He may say, "I want to come talk to you about your hands, what you've been doing, your feet, where they've been taking you. I want to talk to you about your mind, where you've been letting it go." But He deals with us in specifics when it comes to a trespass. And now He is dealing with them in specific terms. All sin can be forgiven, but no sin can be overlooked. And so now He writes to them in chapter 5. The sin of chapter 5, these sins are so important that they're listed individually, one right after the other. Now here's the interesting thing. I was studying about this and thinking about this week, and it is amazing to me that what we will soon discover, if I was to ask you to list 10 terrible trespasses, you would probably say things like murder and rape and adultery, and you might have all sorts of things you could go on with. But the things that we will discover that God deals with in chapter 5 and chapter 6 is stuff that we just overlook today. They're those sins that nobody really considers wrong, you know. They're the little white sins. Can I say there are no white sins and black sins? They're just sins. God wants to deal with all of them. And I see the sins that were rejected in this passage of Scripture. Let us move quickly through this. I want you to notice this letter A. I'm not going to be able to go A, B, C, D. You keep up with it. I'll lose count at some point. But I want you to see the trespass in your testimony. The trespass in your testimony. In verse 1, he said, if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing. In verse 1, he said, the voice of swearing. Now, when we hear that, we would often think that he's talking about profanity, but that is not what he's saying. When he talks about the voice of swearing, he is talking about literally a witness giving their testimony in a trial. That is what that voice of swearing means, someone giving their testimony. And he's talking about the fact that if a man was to give his testimony, if a man was to speak something, he should speak the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. He's to speak what he knows. He's to speak the truth. By the voice of swearing, it means the voice of adoration is what it means. To adjure someone or to swear in a witness on a trial. You see, the Bible talks about the fact that there are some times when we must speak up every once in a while. You see, often we have the mentality that silence is golden, and I wish we had more silence than we have today. I'll be honest with you. God gave you two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk, but some people don't get that. But there are some times that we can't keep our silence. There are some times that we must speak up and we must speak what we know to be truth and what we know to be wrong. You remember in the book of Joshua, I believe it was, how the children of Israel went into Jericho and they were given commandments by God beforehand. God said, now I'm going to give you Jericho. I'm going to let the walls fall down, that strange plan that God gave them. He said, but when you go to Jericho, he said, you're not to spoil that city. You remember that? You don't take anything for yourself. Nothing is to be taken with you. And when they went into Jericho and God let the walls fall down and they conquered that great city, there was a man in the army of the children of Israel and his name was Achan. And Achan got over there in Jericho and he saw some of them goodly raiment. He saw some good clothes and he saw some silver and gold. And he thought, boy, I've been wanting a new sports coat like that one. I've wanted that my entire life and there it is. And I don't reckon anybody would ever care if I took that. And so he took it and he hid it under his tent. Remember that? And Joshua, he found out there was sin in the camp. They lost that next battle. And God told Joshua, he said, hey, get up, quit praying to me, go deal with the sin in the camp. And he found Achan. And Achan had taken that garment and those possessions and he had hid them under his tent. The Bible says something very strange. The Bible says that Joshua and the children of Israel took Achan and his family and brought them out before the people and stoned all of them. You say, what in the world did his family do that was so wrong? I'll tell you what his family did. They knew it when he hid it under his tent, and they never said anything about it. And it was a disobedience to God, and it was sin. It was sin for Achan to take it, and it was sin for them not to say something about it. I'm talking about the voice of swearing, the adoration. There's sometimes you have to speak up. You remember when the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the Lord. He said that he would be as a lamb dumb before his shearers. You remember that? He wouldn't say anything. And Jesus that night stood before Pilate. And Pilate questioned him. The Bible said that Jesus didn't answer. And he stood before Caiaphas and he never answered. He stood before Herod and he never answered. And on and on. But the Bible says there was one time where Jesus had to speak up. And I believe it was before Caiaphas. It may have been before one of the others. But the Bible says that, yes, it was before Caiaphas. It says the high priest looks at Jesus in Matthew 26, 63. And he said, but Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure thee by the living God. Tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. You know what Caiaphas did? He said, I adjure you. And if Jesus had kept silent that day, he would have been guilty of the sin of a trespass. And so he spoke up and confirmed that he was indeed the Son of God. Amen. You say, what's that have to do with me? Well, the reality is that you and I, as I preach Wednesday night, have been commissioned to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we keep our silence, we are guilty of the sin of a trespass. We're overstepping the mark because God has told us to do something. And we choose not to do it. I see the trespass in a testimony. I see the trespass in a touch, verse 2 and verse number 3. And if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean cattle or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, if it be hidden from him, he shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hidden from him. When he knoweth of it, he shall be guilty. I see the trespass in a touch. You see, the law begins to talk about touching something that was unclean. And this seems very old and it seems very outdated for us today. But the reality is that God was laying down principles by which they were to live their life by. And God wanted them to know that there was some unclean things. There was some filthiness in the world. And they were to not put their hands on the unclean thing. This world is full of filthiness and it's full of nastiness and it's full of contamination. And you and I as the children of God ought to stay away from those things that can contaminate our lives. You see, there's contaminating things. Do not touch anything that is dead, is what the Bible says. Keep your hands, keep your life off those dead things. I begin to think about those dead works. Those dead works are the things that we do in our flesh. Those sins that we do in our flesh, keep your hands off of them. I began to think about that fellowship with those dead people that you hang around. You ever been around somebody and when you leave their presence, you feel like you need to take a bath? You probably ought to stay away from those people. Amen? If somebody's pulling you down instead of pulling you up, best not touch them. Amen? Stay away from them. That's the best thing you can do. Stay away from them. Hey, I'm telling you, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's some people that'll pull you down if you're not careful. God bless you, Brother Bill. Thank you, sir. Some people will pull you down. Hey, I'm telling you, I thought about those dead works, those things that are done without faith. The Bible says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin in Romans 14:23. Keep your hands off those dead things. I see the trespass, letter C, in the tongue, verse 4. Or if a soul swear, prophesy, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, if it be hid from him, when he know it, then he shall be guilty of these. The swearing in verse 4 is not the same as the swearing in verse 1. The swearing in verse 1 comes from the Hebrew word that literally means to seven oneself. The number 7, to seven oneself in number 1. And it carries the idea of giving that testimony 7 times to make sure you give it just exactly right. But in chapter number 5, verse 4, the swearing is different. The swear in verse 4 means to pronounce something or to make a statement in the moment, in the heat of a moment, that you have no intentions of fulfilling. And this could be good or bad. Now, I know you've never done anything like this. But how many of you, don't raise your hand and embarrass yourself, but in the heat of the moment have said something like this, I would never do something like that. Somebody cuts you off at that red light and you say, I'd like to kill you. Woo. That's a sin if you don't follow through with it. And it's a sin if you do. And it goes the other way too, not just negative things, but to promise things and excitement that you cannot fulfill and that you cannot bring to fruition. You see, the reality is that what comes out of our mouth is pretty important. Matthew 5:37, for this very reason, the Lord said, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. He said in James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Proverbs 141 verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I guess what the Bible's trying to say is don't say something if you don't mean it. You know, we often think of sin, and we think of, you know, the man that's in the bar or the man that's at the places of this world, and we think of that as sin. But, sir, ma'am, it is also sin for you to say something that you don't mean and that you know you cannot bring to fulfillment. That is a trespass against God. I see the trespass in the tongue. I see the trespass in treatment. Verse number 15. Verse 15, if the soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring his trespass unto the Lord. This verse speaks of someone trespassing and disrespecting something of the Lord's, treating something of the Lord's like it should not be treated. To understand this trespass, we have to ask ourselves, what are the holy things of the Lord? He said, if you don't treat the holy things of the Lord with respect, in verse 15, you're guilty of a trespass. What are the holy things of the Lord? Well, Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Chapter number 50 says, the beasts of the field are the Lord's. Haggai chapter number 2 says that all the silver and the gold belong to God. Ezekiel chapter number 18 says that all the souls are His. So when we mishandle something that is the Lord's, we're guilty of a trespass. Let me say it to you this way. Sometimes we're guilty of the trespass of wasting time because we wasted on selfish pursuits instead of doing something for the Lord. Sometimes we are guilty of trespassing the holy things of the Lord's day when we fail to show up to church and come together to worship. We can be guilty of trespassing the holy things of the tithe by spending God's money on something else or on ourselves. We could be guilty of the trespass of the holy things of the Scriptures by neglecting them. We could be guilty of a trespass of the holy things of worship by having a critical spirit. We could be guilty of the trespass of the holy things of prayer by being silent and not using it. We could be guilty of the trespass of the holy things of brotherly love by not having an unforgiving spirit. I'm trying to say that God owns everything, and we ought to treat God's things with respect. My, some of these little sins. But these little sins were big enough for God to want to deal with them. You say, I wonder what's keeping me from having fellowship with God. Might be you might have some of these little trespasses in your life. See, the trespass in his teachings, verse number 17. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and bear his iniquity. Watch this. The first several we've discussed, these trespasses. These trespasses, a man has gone beyond, he's missed the mark. But now watch this in verse 17. Notice the word if. The word if, again, doesn't carry the connotation that it's questionable whether he'll do it or not. It's just a matter of when he'll do it. It's almost like a certainty. The sin in verse 17 is the sin that a man commits because he is ignorant of God's laws, is what the Bible says. You know, often we claim ignorance when it comes to sin, and that is our excuse. Oh, I didn't know that was wrong. And we're proud of ourselves in that. Oh, I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know that was wrong. I wouldn't have done that. Well, according to chapter number 17, if you didn't know it was wrong, you're guilty of the sin nonetheless because you could have known that it was wrong. Chapter 17, or verse 17, says you're guilty of a trespass when you don't know God's teachings, you don't know what God desires, you don't know what God's law is, and so you sin ignorantly because you've not taken the time to find out what God wants from your life. That is a sin. When you don't pick up that Bible during the week and find out what God wants and expects from your life, you are guilty of a trespass, and that is sin. I see the guiltiness of the trespass of his teachings. Ignorance of God's law comes from a neglect of God's word. And God one day will hold us accountable for those things that we were willingly ignorant of. You've got a Bible in your lap. And if you don't have one, I will give you one. You've got a Bible in your lap. You've got a Bible app on your phone. You've got multiple Bibles laying around your house. You've got internet access that has online Bibles. I'm telling you, the Word of God is all around you. You have no excuse to be ignorant of the will or the ways of God. And to do so, to be willingly ignorant, is a sin. God has to deal with it. I see the trespass against someone's trust. Chapter 6, verse 2. And if a soul commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor, and that which was delivered unto him to keep. The first several we discussed are all trespasses of unthinking, of ignorance. But this trespass is done knowingly. In fact, these next several are done knowingly. In verse 2, we learned that the trespasses that we are committing are against the Lord. You see, all these sins are against other men, but ultimately they're before God. He said in verse number 2, you are guilty of a trespass. If someone entrusted something to you and you neglected that trust. If somebody gives you something for safekeeping or lets you borrow something and you lose it or you damage it and you don't make that right, you're guilty of sin. I told you, these little things he's dealing with now. I hate borrowing stuff from people. I don't like it much. I'll borrow stuff from Dad because, you know, if I break it, he'll let me pay him back on payments. He knows me. But I don't like borrowing stuff from folks much because I know, sure as I do, it's going to tear up. And it won't be my fault, but I'll have to make it right. It was entrusted to me. If I was to lose it, if I was to break it, is to tear up on my watch, I'd have to make it right, or I was guilty of sin. I see the trespass in the way you trade. Verse number 2 again, he said, or in fellowship. The word fellowship in verse number 2 means to bargain, is the word that's translated fellowship in verse 2. And it means your business relationships. To be sharp or to be cutting in business. The problem with someone being sharp in trade is that someone always gets cut. Someone's always the loser. And the sharpness could be on either end. If I have something that I know that you have to have, I know that you must, you really need it, and I take advantage of your need when I sell it to you, that's a trespass against the Lord. Amen. Or if you know that I've got something I need to get rid of and I'm desperate to get rid of it and you take advantage of me because you know I need to get rid of it, you're guilty of a trespass before the Lord. I've worked in retail now for about my whole teenage and adult life. And can I say some of the worst people to deal with sometimes are Christian folk? And sometimes some of the worst to deal with are preachers, I'll be honest with you. They want something for nothing. They want to fight with you about everything. It's a constant fight. It's a constant haggle. It's a constant bargain. Because they want something for nothing. Amen. That's what you say. When I get quiet, y'all just say amen. If you ain't been paying attention and you don't know what I'm saying, just say it anyways and act like you did. I'm talking about sin now. Serious business. Sin. Trespass against the Lord. And the way you conduct yourself in business. I want you to see the trespass in treatment. Verse number 2, we're still in verse 2. Or in a thing taken away by violence. To take something by violence is to rob someone. To take something that rightfully belongs to someone else. It means to take by brute force is what it means. The violence in our text is not just physical violence. It could be mental violence as well. It's the action to cause someone to give up something that they don't want to give up. I see the trespass and trickery, verse number 2, or hath deceived his neighbor. Some things are taken by force. Some things are taken by deceit and trickery. Jacob tricked his brother out of his birthright. The Gibeonites tricked Joshua into making a league with them. Delilah tricked Samson into giving up his secret. If you can't get what you want by honest means, then you're better off without it. I see the trespass of a thief, last of all, in verse 3, or found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of these things that a man doeth sin therein. This is the trespass of selfishness or greed. It means to take joy in finding something that belongs to someone else and not make efforts or strides to return it to them. I remember about a year ago, somebody had given me an iPod, a pretty nice iPod that had been found. It was lost. It had been lost for many months. And they'd given it to me because nobody had claimed it. And I was going to give it to my nephew. And I plugged it into my iTunes account to wipe it clean and to put, you know, get it ready for him to use, put some music on it for him. And when I plugged it into my computer, my iTunes account popped up and said, "This device has been reported missing. If you find this device, please call," and listed a telephone number. And I was faced with a decision. An iPod that had been missing for over a year. And I could have wiped it clean and started over and given it to my nephew. But instead, I called a long-distance telephone number to somebody I did not know. And I said, "I just want you to know that your iPod has been found. And I have it. And if you'd like to come get it, I'll tell you where you can come get it." It would have been sin for me to do anything but that. I see the sins that were rejected. I see the settlement that was required. Chapter number 5 and verse number 5, the Bible talks about confession. It says, "And it shall be when he shall be guilty of one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing." In order for a person to have their sins forgiven, they first have to admit that they've done something wrong. Can I say that awareness requires admittance, and admittance requires action? Confession must be done if we're going to have our sins forgiven. And confession in this verse is more than just confessing that you are a sinner. It is going to the person and confessing specifically what you have done wrong. The very moment that you realize you've done something wrong is the very moment you need to make it right. And any delay in making it right just magnifies the wrong. It is serious to be guilty of a trespass, but it is more serious to be guilty of doing wrong and not doing anything about it. He said the moment you realize, you're supposed to confess it. Let me stress something. That sacrifice was accompanied with confession. Confession of sin. And this is not in the general sense. This is specific. It says, "He shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing." That means I bring my ram to the priest and I say, "Sir, I am guilty of a trespass." And he would say, "What is your trespass?" And I would say, "I lied under oath. I swore falsely. That is my trespass. Or I took something that did not belong to me. Or I was sharp in trade the other day in the marketplace. This is what I have done and I need to be forgiven." I worry about these people that say they want to get right with God, but they're never willing to admit to themselves or to those people that they've harmed or to God what it is that they've done. They're like a little kid who does something on the playground, and mom and dad says, now you go tell them you're sorry. And they don't want to tell them they're sorry, but mom and dad is making them say sorry. So they march over there, sorry. You've seen it. You've probably done it once or twice in your life. Your mama told you to tell sorry and you didn't want to. Hey, but I'm telling you, that's the way we are sometimes with God. We've trespassed against His laws. We've done wrong in His sight. And we want to walk up to the altar and say, sorry. And walk back like we've never done anything wrong. Honey, it don't work that way. You better tell God what you did. You better say, God, I'm sorry. I'm taking sides with you against myself. I was wrong this whole time. And if you've harmed someone else, we'll get to this. You better go to them and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted the way I acted. I shouldn't have done what I'd done. And I want you to forgive me too. Amen. I'm talking about confession now. I see the confession. You say, would I really need to do that? Well, if you've got a trespass in your life, that means that you and God are seeing things different unless you confess it. Amos asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that question is, it's a rhetorical question. The answer to that question is no. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. And until you and God agree together on that sin in your life, you can't walk together. Amen. I'm talking about now the settlement that was required. The first thing they had to do is confess it. I see the confession. Let her be. I see the cost. Verse number 6, verse number 7, verse number 15. We see in verse 6 and verse 7, they were to bring a female lamb or a female goat. Or in verse 15, they were to bring a ram, depending on what their sin was. The animals used in this offering are much like the burnt offering and the peace offering and the sin offering. The notable expression is the ram. This is the first time that a ram has been mentioned. A ram was required for most of these trespass offerings. Each one of these animals speak in a particular way about the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man was down on his luck and he did not have much, instead of bringing a female lamb or instead of bringing a ram, he could instead bring two turtle doves. But he had to make restitution to God for what he had done. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 6. And he shall bring his trespass. This is personal. The only one that can make the trespass right is the one that committed the trespass. If I have harmed you and I have done you wrong, my parents can ask you to forgive me and my wife can ask you to forgive me. But really, the only way for that thing to be made right is for me to make it right. And the same thing works with God. I can see sin in your life and I can say, God, deal with them about that sin. God, please help them not to go any further in that sin. I can say, God, would you stop them in their tracks? God, would you let them get it right? But I can't make it right for you. I've got two children here. I've got two girls. I would love to be able to go before God like Job did, that man of God, and make sacrifice for my children. But it don't work that way anymore. They've got sin in their life. They've got to deal with God about it. It's up to them. It's up to my wife to deal with her sin. It's up to you to deal with your sin. I can't deal with that for you. This cost was a personal cost, but it was a precious cost. It cost them something. Some of these people, it was hard for them to give up a ram. It was hard for them to give up a lamb, a goat. Some of them, it was hard to give up those turtle doves. That was valuable to them, but they had to do it if they were going to be made right in the eyes of God. Can I say God gave a valuable sacrifice for you? The Apostle Peter said, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with silver or gold from your vain, or silver and gold from the vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was precious blood that He shed for you. And sometimes when you make things right, it's going to be personal and it may be precious, but you've got to do it to get right with God. Let me show you this last of all. We'll move over into communion. I see finally the steps that were recorded. The steps that were recorded. Verse 8, he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is the sin offering first, and wring off the head of its neck, and shall not divide it asunder. It was the sinner's obligation to make the first step toward God. The priest never went to somebody and said, I noticed that you were guilty of a trespass. You need to make that right. You need to bring in an offering. Go get a lamb out of your pen and bring it. He never did that. It was the man's responsibility or the woman's responsibility to realize they had sin in their life and they took the first step toward God. And they would bring that ram, and we've seen it so many times in the other offerings. They'd put their hand on the head of that ram and they would shed its blood. That ram would die for their sin. That priest would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the side of the altar. And after he had sprinkled it on the side of the altar, he would pour the rest of it out on the bottom of the altar. In the trespass offering, it may be that you're not financially blessed enough to bring a ram or a lamb or even two turtle doves. And for that matter, and for that person, God said, I'll even take a measure of fine flour. You see, God is making it possible for everybody to get right with Him. And God's making it possible tonight for you to get right. He said they can bring that flour. Now this was different. You remember in the meat offering? They had to put something in the flour. What was it? They had to put oil, right? And they had to give frankincense. You remember frankincense? But He says now in this passage of Scripture, He said, do not put any oil in it and do not put any frankincense in it. You know why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, talks about oil, and He had nothing to do with your trespass. And frankincense speaks of praise, and there's no praise in a trespass. And He would bring that flour, and the priest, the Bible says, would offer a handful of it for a memorial, and the rest would become the priest. And he would take it home and feed his family with it. But when they brought that, I see that two things happen. I see that their account was reconciled. Verse 15 and 16, their account was reconciled. And verse 16 said, he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done and the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereunto and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. The repentance, when the repentance was made, things were made right with God. The account was reconciled between them and God. But watch this now. Once their account was reconciled between them and God, they had to also reconcile it between them and somebody else. I had to not only give my offering, I had to make it right with you, because I trespassed against you. And not only did I have to give my offering, but the priest would also add a fifth part to it. And I had to give the fifth part as well, which is a wonderful picture of the fact that when Adam sinned, he lost all of mankind. But when Christ died on the cross, he gave us back much more than Adam lost. But I had to make it right with you. I see the account that was reconciled, and I see the assurance that was received. Verse 10, verse 13, verse 16. Each time they tell us that their sins, it shall be forgiven him. The words are filled with certainty. God's word is filled with certainty. God's word is a sure source. And the reality is that when we come to God with our sin and we say, God, this is what I've done, and God, I'm sorry, there is certainty in the fact that God forgives sins. I'm glad that He does, aren't you? And it shall be forgiven him. I wonder, while the piano player comes, Brother Scott comes with a song, we're going to give a verse of invitation, and then we're going to move over into the communion service. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to carry any trespasses or sins with me into the time of communion. And if there's something in your life that's a trespass between you and God, and bring it to the altar, God will forgive you for it. While they sing one verse, if you need to come, I encourage you to come.